Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And obviously, since I'm here, baby doesn't want to come out yet. First Corinthians chapter 13, let's read from verse 8 to 12. It says, "Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also as I have been fully made, been fully known." Amen. And then let's go to chapter 14, verse 24. "But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn, all may be exhorted, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Amen. Okay. And so, in 1 Corinthians 13, this is the chapter on love, right? And it's interesting that, remember, I mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago, right, that 1 Corinthians 12 starts the whole discussion, okay? And then, so he starts the discussion about the gifts of the Spirit, and then all of a sudden in 13, he makes this interjection, and, you know, this first, the middle part of chapter 13 is considered to be Paul's greatest literary work, right, where he talks about love. And most people believe that this was, you know, I mean, obviously we know, right, but it's very, very divinely, you know, inspired, because, I mean, no man can come up with, you know, love is patient, love is kind. Is that, I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing writing here. And then he interjects this love aspect, which is important for us to grasp, because, you know, like we've been mentioning a bit yesterday, if you don't operate in the character of Christ, then the gifts will ruin you. Okay, you know, it could be too much for us to handle in many ways. And so he interjects this message, and then he goes to in verse 8, and he says, "Love never fails." And then he says, "If there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. If there are tongues, they're going to cease." Right. And so this little part here is really, in essence, most of the evidence that you have for what's known as the cessationist movement. Right? In other words, you know, a part of the church that believes that the gifts of the Spirit are not given to the church anymore, or more specifically, the sign gifts of the Spirit are not given to the church anymore, you know, because it says here, right, the gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, right, it'll be done away with, right? And so these are primarily dealing with sign gifts, you know, in that way. And he says, and these will be done. He says, "We know in part and we prophesy in part." But verse 10, it hinges on verse 10. "But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away." So what's the perfect? You know, for a long time in the church, people described the perfect, you know, they thought the perfect meant the Bible. And obviously, you know, any scholar worth their salt knows that that's not what it's talking about. The perfect, when you look at the scriptures, is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so, I mean, there's some bad exegesis going on in that part. And but then let's just say that, okay, you don't believe it's you know, Jesus. Let's say that you believe it's the Bible. Okay, we'll just play that thought. Okay, so when the Bible comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, you know, continue on and on and on. You know, and this is the really, the mysterious part about prophecy, you know, about hearing from God. Because it's mysterious. You know, he says in there, well, we prophesy in part. In other words, I mean, isn't it frustrating that we don't get the whole picture? You know, I don't know if it frustrates you. It frustrates me, you know, that we don't get the whole picture. You know what I mean? You know, like we don't you know, get to grasp the fullness of what God wants to tell us. We just get a part of it, you know. And, you know, remember in the Numbers passage when Moses is talking, he says that, you know, to the prophets he speaks in dark sayings, right? He speaks to them in dreams and visions, you know. And he says, but with Moses, I speak face to face. So we'd love face to face. You know, but we're not Moses, and so we get parts. You know, and then he draws us even more. And this is actually, I think, a better picture of what Paul is trying to say. In verse 12, he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." You know, have you ever woken up? You know, I mean, obviously you woke up this morning, and you know, you're kind of groggy, and you're trying to get your bearings. And have you ever looked yourself in the mirror? Especially before you turn off the light, you don't see much. You see something, right? And it's probably like most of you guys that wear glasses, you know, it's probably what it's like when you don't have your glasses on. You know, you just kind of like, it's a bit blurry, you know, you see something, you know, something is there. There's a face in front of you. You know that because it's your face, you know, but everything else is a bit blurry, you know. That's kind of what this is like. You know, he says, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, again, when the perfect comes, we will see face to face, right? You know, we shall then know fully and also be fully known. You know, I mean, this is, you can go off on just verse 12 for a long time, you know, just preaching just on that one little verse because there's so much packed in there. And so he says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three things, the greatest of these is love. Now you think, okay, so maybe Paul is saying that the gifts have stopped. But then you're confronted with chapter 14, verse 1, right? So what does Paul say? Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Like, what? You know, Paul, I thought you just said that the gifts stopped, you know, that they don't exist anymore, right? So obviously that's not what he's saying, right? I mean, even just a very elementary reading of the scriptures has to point us to the realization that, right, that the gifts of the Spirit exist today, right, and they're functional, you know, and they're operating within the church. And so, again, right, going back to what we talked about, you know, earlier this week. So Paul, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't tell the church in Corinth, hey, just stop it, just cut it all out. You guys are messing it up. You're blowing it, right? He doesn't give instructions to cease from doing these things. What does he do? He gives instructions for how to operate it, right, faithfully within the confines of the church. You know, and he goes out of his way to, you know, to bring, you know, specific parameters, you know, and guidelines of how to use the gift in the body of Christ. Now, notice, right, the Corinthians, everyone thinks they're spiritual. All this mayhem is going on. And he says, look, but you prophesy, an unbeliever comes in, you know, and this is, I mean, it's a kind of an interesting word, right? An unbeliever, the actual word is actually an uninitiated, right? And so it really has nothing to do with belief per se, even though there's a part there, but it's just saying, like we have the term right now that people are using pretty commonly in the church. Instead of saying the non-believer, we say the pre-believer. That's probably closer to what this word is here. You know, but unfortunately, the word in Greek could sound quite negative. But the word unbeliever is the better translation, uninitiated. But the Greek word is idiotis, where we get the word idiot from, right? And so that doesn't mean that if you're a non-believer or a pre-believer, you're an idiot. But it just means you're uninitiated, right? And so don't ever tell a pre-believer what that means in the Greek, because it might turn them off, right? And so they come in, he's convicted, right? Because you're prophesying, he's convicted. He'll fall on his knees and say, man, God is with you, right? This is the operation that happens. And then he says, so what's the outcome? Right? Notice, right, in this church setting, you have people all over the place doing all kinds of stuff. Does Paul say, no, only one guy speak, only the pastor, only the leader? No, he doesn't say that. He says, what's the outcome then? He says, when you assemble, right, he says, God's got stuff for each one of you guys to share. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so Paul is not wiping everything away. You know, what he's saying is, you know, that, you know, even though it's crazy in the church and, you know, there's 50 people speaking at once and, you know, and it's this kind of mayhem and all these things, he says, it's okay, right? You know, when you gather together, yeah, God's going to give each of you guys something. Right? God's going to speak to you, and you're going to, you know, you're going to sing a song. You know, you may get an inspirational song. You know, you may get an inspirational teaching. You know, you may get a inspirational tongue, and then someone else would interpret that tongue. You know, and all these different things. You may get a vision or revelation or something. And he's saying, you know, he's not saying, okay, stop doing that. He's saying, look, this is what's going to happen, right? In the body of Christ, in the church, God's going to speak to certain individuals to share. You know, and then when that happens, when this operation is moved along, and he says that what you guys do is just do it one at a time. At the most in a service, just two or three of you guys speak in a tongue. And then just a few of you guys share prophecy. You know, we don't have to, everyone do it because God's got different things for everybody. Now, you can see what Paul very wisely doing, right? Because in the Corinthian church, if you spoke in tongues or if you were prophetic, it was an elevated position, right? And Paul is including everyone in there. You know, he's saying, look, even you that can sing, you've got a part in it. You know, even you, you know, that there's a teaching gift there, you know, and you've been reading the Bible, you know, or the scriptures and something's happening. You share something, you know, and it's the fullness, and it's not necessarily elevating a certain gift over another, right? And, but he just shows you, this is what's going to happen. And then, you know, when you guys do it, just a few of you guys, and let the others come and just pass judgment. You know, and he ends the whole thought by saying, you know, God is a God of order, not of confusion. You know, and so, you know, make sure that you know, it just doesn't seem crazy, you know, in a way. With that said, okay, I need to interject this little thought as well. Sometimes, though, what we think is orderly, right, or disorderly could be very, very different from what God thinks. You know, and even if you go to cultural context, right, you know, what we consider to be orderly in Hong Kong or in a Western setting, you go to Africa and you worship with the African church, right, it'll blow your mind. You know, I've been there. They worship for 3 hours, right? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm tired. You know, I got to preach, right? I'm just exhausted, you know, because they dance and they sing and they don't even have instruments. You know, I mean, they literally have a bucket, you know, with some, you know, some drum, you know, or with some sticks, and they have these cans that they've made into, I don't know what you call those, you know, shaking things, right? And that's all they have, right, in the whole church, and it sounds like an orchestra inside there, right? And they're dancing 3 hours, you know, and in our context, man, that just seems very disorderly, you know, it just seems so crazy. You know, and for some people in their context, you raising your hands in church is considered disorderly. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? I mean, I know people that come to SP, and because, you know, someone raised their hands, they don't come anymore, right? Because, oh, this is just not right, you know, kind of thing. And so, you know, I want you to get a bigger lens of what it means to, well, God's order, you know, what it means, right? You know, I mean, even outside of cultural context. But he says here, right, even two or three prophets, let them speak. And let the others pass judgment, right? You know, Paul's saying, let's be thoughtful in the way that we administer the gifts. He's not saying get rid of them. He's saying let's be thoughtful about how we operate in this way. You know, let's be thoughtful about, you know, what we're doing, you know, in this. And notice, and you know, in a lot of chapter 14 is really a dichotomy of tongues and prophecy. You know, Paul is saying, well, tongues is this and prophecy is this and so on and so forth. And then you could think that at the end of the day that Paul doesn't actually like tongues that much. But then you get to the end of verse 14. And he says, verse 39, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Right? You know, he says, yeah, okay, you guys, because it could sound like, right, that Paul's kind of down on the gift of tongues. He's not. He says there, you know, okay, remember at the beginning he says, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you prophesy, right? And then he talks about tongues, and he just makes it seem like tongues is, you know, whatever. But then at the end of the day, he goes, well, yeah, seek to prophesy, but don't stop anyone from speaking in tongues. You know, pretty pretty clear word, right? And you know, and if you've been at church, you know, at SP long enough, you know, we've taught on this passage. You know, this is what's called a present tense imperative, you know, which basically means, right, that Paul is saying you are forbidding people to speak in tongues. Stop it and continue to stop it, right? In other words, if you're stopping someone from speaking in tongues, you better stop stopping them, and you keep stopping them. You know, I know, do you guys catch what I'm saying, right? You know, in other words, let them speak. You know, let them move in their gift, right? I mean, that's his whole conclusion. But again, but let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner, right? In an orderly manner. Let everything, right? Let all these things that are happening, let it be done, right? In a proper manner, as so fitting the gift that we can understand what God is saying. You know, and it's important for us to understand that. He's not chucking it all away. You know, he's really saying it exists, it's real. This is God's gift to his people. But let it be done, you know, in a proper way, right? You know, just a few at a time, right? I mean, you know, the whole church doesn't have to give a prophetic word, just one or two, you know, and then, you know, and how this operates, right, is, you know, afterwards, you know, let them pass judgment on this thing. Really simple, you know, and stuff. I've been really going through, not necessarily a change, or, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, as we go forward as a church, you know, and I'm starting to realize more and more the importance of house church, right? Because, you know, the laying out of all of these principles and all of these things, you know, like, where's the opportunity that's going to come where someone has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has interpretation? What setting is that going to happen in? It's going to happen in the house church. Because this is by far the setting that which it happened in, you know, where people gather together, you know, and, you know, where they broke bread, you know, like I'm going to get ahead of myself, but, you know, like, you know, we eat in our house church. You know how important that is, right? You know, that's communion. You know, I mean, I was going to share this weekend at the house church leaders meeting, but that's, you know, the communion was a living meal, you know, and after Constantine, we turned it into a religious exercise, you know, but the communion, the Lord's table was always a living meal. It's people coming together, you know, and breaking bread and remembering Christ in the midst of it. Right, you know, and I mean, it was such a beautiful, organic thing, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I'm even thinking about maybe on a Sunday, we just turn all these chairs into tables, and we just have one huge communion as a service, right? I mean, even logistically, I don't know how that works out, you know. But that's by nature, you know. And so there's got to be something where, you know, where we gather together. I know this has nothing to do with prophecy or these things, but as we're gathering together and moving in this way, right, that we see the importance of house church, you know, being the medium, really, in ways that we live out New Testament Christianity. You know, we really live out, you know, the Book of Acts kind of life and their faith, right? It's through, you know, it's through the house churches, really, you know, more than anything else, you know. So if you don't belong to one, you're missing out on New Testament Christianity. I mean, I can make it as plain as can be, right? So, but that's not really what I want to talk about. So let's go back to this thing. So let's close our eyes. On one level, when you're coming together, do you feel like you have something to give? Not just your financial offering, but do you feel like you have something to give to the Lord, to the body of Christ? It says, what is the outcome, brethren? When you assemble together, each one has something to give. Now, it may not be done in a corporate setting. In other words, you may not be the one that's standing up and teaching or whatnot. But I guarantee in the ecclesia, as you gather together, I bet you have a word for someone, or a prayer, or a comfort, or something. Let's just begin to go before the Lord and ask Him to really speak to us. About our lives, about our ministries. Pray that we would have the fullness of the gifts operating within us, that we could do all that He's called us to do. Let's go before the Lord as Jesus leads us. Let's pray, huh? Pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray that we would be a prophetic people, you know, a prophetic place. That even though we see dimly in a mirror, you know, something about seeing dimly is it really makes you want to focus. You know, it makes you really want to seek out. You know, maybe that's what God's been after the whole time anyway, right? For us to be really serious about finding Him in the darkness, in the days of life and everything. Let's pray for a heart that really runs hard after Him in that way. Pray for a whole community, a church that also does that as well. Let's lift up ourselves and our church before the Lord. Let's cover this weekend before the Lord, all the stuff that's going on. Let's pray tonight for McCain House Church. Let's pray that the Spirit of God will just breathe upon Jimmy and Bo as they lead. Pray for Experiencing God and GIC tonight as we continue on in our discipleship classes. Pray for tomorrow. Tomorrow, Saturday. Pray for our intercessory prayer meeting that God would just continue to cover all the members, and as they seek God's face and that He would, you know, speak to them very clearly about direction to pray for. Pray we have a board of directors meeting tomorrow. Ask God to continue to touch the elders and use them wisely to bring not just the running and the administration of the church, but also the vision of the church would continue to be established through this group. Pray for our Sunday services, 10 and 2. Pray for the presence of God to come. Pray for our guests that come, that they would feel love and be received welcomely. Pray for Noah's Ark, for the kids and the teachers, that they would just learn and be taught just with such love and care. Pray also, Saturday night, pray for the youth group, Pastor Nate, and continue to use them and the teachers to draw these young people closer to Him. And Sunday night, is there anything going on Sunday night? There's no more meetings, right? Oh, that's right. I knew something, right? Let's pray for our house church leaders meeting Sunday night as well. And that God would just really continue to bless and recharge our leaders. And then for Monday at Cascade, let's ask God to continue to bless that time of healing and ministry. We come against the enemy that wants to rob, kill, and destroy. We pray that life would flow through the times of prayer, but also in the individual lives of those that minister. And let's just lift up this weekend before God and ask for His hand of grace to come upon us. Let's lift up members of our church that are going through different things, either illnesses or joblessness or just emotional stuff going on. Let's pray for Ben, who's in the hospital. Let's pray for his eye. He's got a fungus that's been growing in his eye, and they still trying to figure out what to do. And so pray for healing. Pray for God to come and just really encourage him during this time. Let's pray for one of our church members' moms who's sick and is dealing with cancer. Let's ask God to continue to touch. Let's pray for Stella's mom, I think, as well, right? And let's pray that the Lord would continue to touch her as she battles through cancer and others in our church that are going through other different types of things. Let's just lift them up before the Lord and ask God to come release his healing word over us. Let's pray for our building, our move, and our funding and finances. Pray that all the people that pledge, that God would just continue to bless their lives, that they'd be able to fulfill their pledges. Pray for the opportunity at the Vine, and ask God to really open the doors and for them as well as for us. Let's pray for our last fundraiser of the year, our auction. Now, let's pray that we just have a wonderful time and really thank the Lord for a lot of people that really gave of themselves, their gifts, their talents, their possessions, and ask for just a real blessing of the Lord to flow through this time. Let there be a real celebration of us coming together as a community, on the 21st. And so let's just lift up our move and our fundraising before the Lord. And lastly, if we could just pray for Lisa and for all the pregnant moms, I would actually like to preach on Sunday. And so, either baby come out today or tomorrow. So I think I got a good message. So otherwise, I think Pastor Nate or Sam, who's in line if I don't come? That's Sam? Okay. So we don't want to stress him out, right? So let's pray the baby will come in time. And pray for all the other moms as well, right? Annie, Yuli, Jian, Sujin, Bernice with the twins. Did I say Jian? I know there's seven of them, so let's just lift them up before the Lord. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for another week, God, that you've been so faithful to us, Lord. And, And we pray, God, that we would be faithful to you, Lord, and that we would, God, run hard after you, Father. And whatever you ask us to do, Lord, if it's pursuing the gifts, God, as we pursue love, as we pursue community, God, and grace, and Lord, and just come and just meet with us, Lord. We just lift up all our concerns to you, all the things that are on our heart, and we ask you to move in the midst of us, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Watch over us this weekend, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great weekend before the Lord.